Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The Big Dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, this guy's stuck in the star! This...
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for Roman Reigns' heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. And it is, as I record this, Friday, April 21st, 2017. Hope everyone's had a great week. It is the weekend for those of us that have that 9 to 5 Monday through Friday schedule. Welcome to the weekend. It is the end of April. Baseball season underway. NHL in the playoffs. NBA in the playoffs. And there's no better time, if you're into sports, no matter what sport it is, to be a fan. Because there's really everything for everyone right now. Unless, of course, you're into the NFL. And even then, you have the draft. So there's a lot going on. The NFL just released their schedule for 2017-2018, but this is all about pro wrestling, the real sport, right? This is about WWE, and welcome to the show. I review SmackDown and Raw every single week, and pay-per-views, obviously, whenever there is one. And we have one coming up, Payback, shortly, and then Backlash at the end of May. So there's a lot coming up. I know that there's a lot on the table, and I will say that a lot of surprising information and news coming out of this week, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but Jinder Mahal is the number one contender for the WWE Championship. Yeah, let that sink in a minute. But I have a lot to say on that, and it's not all bad. I know a lot of people are questioning why Jinder Mahal. That makes no sense. He has a losing record. He's lost 80 of his last 90 matches or whatever the figure it may whatever the figure is. But I have the counter argument to all of the negativity towards Jinder Mahal. And I'll get to that in just a moment. I promise I will lead off with that. But if you've never joined me before, thank you. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Spreaker for those of you that don't have Apple or the iOS devices. And you can also find me in two different places on the web. You can find me on mattsmadness.com or you think I'd know my own domain name, right? It's just wwepodcast.com. So you can check me out in either place. You can also put your ad on this show, which is on Fiverr, Fiverr.com. Just search for Matt3166. That's my username. Lots of gigs and options I have up there. If you want to get your message out to your audience, you can do so through this medium, and I'd love to help you out. So check that out. And just lastly, please rate and review me. iTunes, wherever a review is possible, whatever podcast app you have. I know I'm on several that I didn't mention, like Stitcher, probably Podbean, Podbay, whatever it may be on Android. I have Apple. I have the iPhone, so I know that many of you who have Android have told me I'm on different platforms when they do the search. So that's also good news. And so let's get into WWE here. I'm going to kind of rapid fire here my reviews. I won't dilly-dally, and just because, well, mainly I have a prior engagement that I need to be at shortly. But I'm not going to jip you guys on content. Let's just get right into it, hot and heavy. And so let's just talk about Jinder Mahal. And then I will get into quickly Raw and a kind of overview on SmackDown Live. Now, the Jinder Mahal thing, guys. The Jinder Mahal thing is this. Here's the argument against it, and I kind of gave you a little bit of a taste of that just a few minutes ago, and that is, it's Jinder Mahal. He's won probably 5% of his matches in the last 2 years. He has been an undercard guy. WWE has done almost nothing to prepare him for the spot that he's at. And he doesn't really have a whole lot of a pedigree, a resume, if you will, to get this job. It's almost like he was just appointed there without really meeting the qualifications. And I get that. To some degree, I agree with it, that there has been no buildup. There's been no indication. There's been no groundwork laid for Jinder Mahal to be in the position that he's in against Randy Orton, arguably one of the best WWE superstars in the last 15 years. I get that. Here's what I'm going to say against that. Here's the counter argument. Number one, it's a different matchup. You have the same usual suspects. Sami Zayn, you have Bray Wyatt, which we don't want to see any more of Bray and Randy, but we're going to get it one last time at Payback. I mean, what do you have? What would you team him with? He's got to face a heel, right? Eric Rowan? AJ Styles is not ready for Randy Orton just yet, and he's a babyface. You know, who is out there on the SmackDown roster that could have done this? Really, there's not a whole lot. Kurt Hawkins? I mean, really? There's not a large... there's not a large field in which to pick from. So, oh, by the way, Kurt Hawkins is on Raw, isn't he? But you guys get my point. When you look at the heel side of SmackDown, there's not a whole lot. It's a fresh matchup. It got people talking. That's always a good thing, all right? And Vince McMahon has always said, you know, there's no such thing really as bad publicity. You know, it gets people talking. It gets eyeballs on the product. It brings interest. Like, wait, what? Who won? Are you kidding? And then go check out the product. And you kind of have a backwards way of building your brand, right? It's a fresh matchup. Jinder Mahal is also obviously in great shape. He looks the part. And a lot of the reason, at least speculation has been, that the reason he got this position or this spot is because the WWE is trying to break into the India market. And it's going to at least entice the India market into the WWE product, or at least make it a little more appealing with a guy at the top that is of Indian descent. I know the Bollywood boys are now the Singh brothers, okay? You have a lot of, you have a lot of diversity that WWE is trying to portray on the product and on the brand. And I get it. They're a business, guys. They are a business. And if you're trying to appeal to a market that you haven't gotten a lot of share of that market from, and you're trying to basically break that barrier to entry, you want to make it as advantageous and as easy for yourself as possible. And I know Jinder Mahal may or may not be the answer, but he's really the only guy right now that is of Indian descent that maybe it makes a little bit more appealing for the audience, potential audience there. So I get it. So that's probably a piece of the reason. It's also, as I said, a fresh matchup. He's not a bad athlete at all. I know he hasn't won a whole lot. I get that from a storyline perspective. Makes sense. I know he doesn't really even deserve to be in the number one contender. He didn't even deserve to be in the six-pack challenge from a storyline perspective, much less win it. I get it. But he's also, he cut a very good promo at the end. He got great heat. That's what you're looking for. And so I just wish people would give this a chance to breathe. My knee-jerk reaction was, what? Really? It was almost as surprising as Zack Ryder winning the IC title last year at WrestleMania. So I understand all of that. It was shocking, and it got people talking. Imagine that. People aren't seeing that side of it, that people are talking about this. And people just are already... They're already pouring cold water on this, and it hasn't even started yet. Give it a chance. It's new. It's fresh. I understand it's Jinder Mahal, the guy who was in 3MB, the guy that was close to obscurity and probably on the to-be-fired list more than once and just made the cut several times. I get all that, but he's put in great dedication, obviously, to his look. He's been there a long time. Give this guy a chance, okay? And that's really my message here, is let this play out. I don't want to jump the gun, and it's tempting to kind of jump on the bandwagon of what the hell is WWE thinking, but I'm going to let this one ride. Now, could WWE fall on their face? Absolutely. This could be a huge stinker depending on where it's placed on the card, too, at Payback. You could have, several really good matches and throw this one at the end, and my God, I don't know if it'll live up to it. And you have a guy in Randy Orton who doesn't do any more than he needs to do in the ring. So that doesn't bode well for having a five-star match with Jinder Mahal. If Randy's not motivated, then it's going to make it even more difficult for Jinder to stand out and make this a successful push, the biggest of his career without question. So you need to have two dance partners really motivated. And I always question Randy's motivation and his enthusiasm. Now, he just kind of like goes through the motions, does his shtick, goes for it, gets an RKO, and goes home. I don't believe he thinks about wrestling when he gets home. And you know what? He shouldn't. You know, he's a family guy. I get it. But it comes through like that. At least give me a little bit of doubt that he lives and breathes the product. I don't believe he does. The problem is I look at it as he looks at it as a job. I don't want to believe that he thinks it's just a job. I need to believe that it's his life. Even if it's not, at least make me feel like it is. And that's the problem with Randy. And he's so good that he can give us half of his possible potential and still out look like he's, 10 times better than the guy before him that maybe gave 100% effort, So anyway, guys, the bottom line is give it a chance to breathe. I don't mind Jinder as a heel right now. I think that he gave probably the best promo of his career with the heat that he got. A reaction from the crowd was great. And it's kind of a little bit reminiscent of Muhammad Hassan when he had Daivari. And so I think, back in the day, that was an act I really think could have gone places. And unfortunately, that did not. And he ended up not being able to continue his career. I don't remember the specifics of why he left WWE, but he was a good character. Maybe he's trying to fill that role, and it works. So, guys, let it play out. All right, let's get into Raw, and then we'll move to SmackDown. And all right, so Booker T replaced David Otunga, and he was relatively reserved. I know Booker doesn't add a lot to the commentary to begin with. He actually takes away. His voice is scratchy and distracting. Literally just how his voice sounds is distracting. Even if he was JR quality of a commentator, he still takes away from just the sound of his voice. And there's nothing he can do about that. I'm not making fun of him, picking on him. That's just the way it is on the broadcast. It's as Curt Hawkins would say, face the facts, or at least when his vignettes aired, face the facts. That's just a fact that his voice is not designed for commentary. And on top of that, when you don't have a very high level quality, it just doesn't do a whole lot for me. But he was relatively reserved, more than I expected. And for the first time in recent memory, Raw gave us some really good quality matches. I'm just fearful, and I think everybody else is too, that WWE is building Braun Strowman as an even bigger monster, only to once again be fed to Roman Reigns. That's my fear. It happened at Fastlane, and I am very fearful that this is what's happening again. I don't want to see it. My guess, though, is that Braun goes over because they don't want to get to Reigns and Lesnar just yet. Reigns and Lesnar, as we all know, is slated for WrestleMania 34. And if you're going to have Braun challenge for the championship against Brock Lesnar, I would assume you have to have Braun go over here just so that it would make sense that he would be the next in line for that title. But maybe, if Roman goes over here and Braun challenges him one more time, and this time it's for the number one contendership, I could see Braun winning then. It just depends when Brock's coming back. I would assume it's Braun versus Lesnar at SummerSlam. But who knows? I mean, I don't know WWE's plans, but I would assume they go to Braun Lesnar before they go to Reigns Lesnar. And we'll have to see. All right, so the video review of Strowman and Reigns from last week. It's interesting how WWE left out the crowd reaction in that audio. Very interesting. Strowman opens the show. Oh, but by the way, guys, don't worry. It's just about the reaction. We don't care if it's booed or cheered as long as they make noise. Oh, yeah? Is that why you guys tell us on the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania that we're going to boo people they cheer and cheer people we normally boo? And is that why you edit the audio from several clips, every video package, to make it the narrative that you want, that Reigns is getting cheered, and or there's just no reaction? But don't worry. Yeah, we're gonna go along with the WWE Kool-Aid that any reaction is a good reaction. Crap is all I have to say. I have a much stronger word for that, but I'm going to stay PG today, and it's a load of crap from WWE, and I don't understand the brainwashing, particularly Road Dogg, who comes on and just talks about the reaction. Well, he's getting a reaction. Watch him on Twitter. I mean, he put it out several months ago, but it's a whole load of garbage, and I don't know who is feeding the WWE monster this, and people are actually buying into it. Management is just trickling it down, and it makes me sick. All right, end rant, at least end rant number one. Strowman again opens the show and talks about how he's proud to say last week he broke Roman Reigns in half, and that he has a separated shoulder, a cracked rib, and Roman Reigns will not be here tonight. Yes, Chance, and says that with Roman Reigns out of the way, he intends to tear through the roster and prove he is the monster among men. Angle comes out and basically makes a Strowman versus Reigns match at Payback, which is in 2 weeks, which is, well, a little over a week now. And that he's telling Strowman to take the night off, but Strowman says he wants more competition or else. I like the or else. I know many people say are not a fan of it. I like it because he follows through with it. That's why I like it. Jericho versus Samoa Joe. Rollins was on commentary. Joe won clean via the Coquina Clutch. And Joe asks if Rollins remembers what it sounded like when he first arrived here. And he remembers the sound of ligaments snapping. And that Joe says it's now personal after what Rollins did to Triple H and Steph at WrestleMania. I like it. Joe has been silent for a while. He's really good when he's on the mic. At least he has been since his arrival on the main roster. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that this match makes sense. I'm glad that they didn't just skip over this match. It could have easily been overlooked and put to the side after Rollins conquered Triple H, but they went back to it. Thank you. See, I like this. When there's congruency and there's logic, it makes sense. So, bravo. Strowman attacks Goldust and R-Truth backstage. Nice. I like it. Miz and Maryse get interrupted by Dean, and they have a surprisingly nice interaction here, but here's the thing. Miz is great on the mic. But when he called Dean lazy and complacent, that to me did not sound like the voice of Mike Mizanin. That sounded like the voice of WWE management using Mike Mizanin as a conduit for their belief of what Dean Ambrose is. That's what it sounded like to me. I just feel it. And, you know, being a fan of 20 years, I can kind of tell when it's management speaking through the character and what they really believe and just putting it on TV, and when it's just The Miz being The Miz, you know, pulling things from his own mind. And that, to me, I would bank it. I would bank a lot of money on that originated from management's view of Dean Ambrose in real life. Let me know what you guys think. And by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness, and I'd love to talk with you about that. So it's a good promo, though. Probably the best promo Dean's had in recent memory. He says he doesn't care how he looks. It's about what's in here, and he doesn't care about branding. He's Dean Ambrose. It was really the most real promo Dean has given since I can't remember. It ends up in a predictable brawl, both going for their finishers but not succeeding, but Dean stands tall. So good here. I know that this is kind of a carryover feud from SmackDown, but I don't have a problem with it. I could go another pay-per-view with this rivalry, and just the most interesting thing to me out of this whole thing was that line about laziness and complacency. All right, so Braun tosses Kalisto in the garbage before Strowman gets blindsided by the Big Show, and Big Show versus Strowman is made for later in the night. Hardy Boys interview and say they're happy to be back, and the lights are brighter, the pyro is louder. Sheamus and Cesaro interrupt, and we end up learning that it's them versus the Hardys at Payback for the tag team titles. By the way, the broken character, WWE is very interested in, reportedly, and they're just looking to maybe buy out the rights from TNA And so they can introduce that to the Hardys because they can't go back to their Attitude Era personas. They just can't. It's been 10 years plus. It doesn't make sense. They need to evolve. And I think the broken characters could do them very well in terms of marketing and success and reinventing themselves on the WWE stage. So Alexa Bliss versus Nia versus Mickey versus Sasha, a fatal four-way for the number one contendership. Nia dominates most of the match here. Really nice. And I really enjoyed the false finish with Sasha hitting the bank statement on Alexa. Alexa takes advantage of Nia doing all the work and pins Sasha for the win. So Alexa is the number one contender for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. I'm fine with it. I think that that is a good mix with Bayley. I was going to say Becky. Bayley. Kurt Hawkins starts a Star Factory promo about how Big Show's in the main event because he was in the ring with Kurt Hawkins last week. I don't know. Finn Balor answers the call and completely squashes Hawkins. And that's that with Finn. He's just kind of treading water until Bray Wyatt's done with Randy at Payback. Bray Wyatt's sermon to the snake. I have in big letters here, yawn. I mean, it's the same stuff every week. The promos about dragging Randy to hell and the House of Horrors. Is this going to be like just a haunted house? Like what is this? I mean, this could be really hokey and bad if done wrong here. I don't even know if WWE knows what it's going to be. I really don't. This could be a total flop. We all know the winner. It's the most obvious outcome. I would say even more obvious than Goldberg and Brock at WrestleMania this past year. That's how obvious this match is going to be, the outcome of Randy and Bray. But I'm so exhausted from Bray Wyatt's backstage nonsense, mumbo jumbo. Say that five times fast. And it just, he doesn't follow through. It's a whole load of malarkey. It's just words that are just intriguing. And you go, okay, well, you know, whatever. Like, you don't believe him. Because he never follows through with anything. And it's, you don't know what he's saying half the time. And it was intriguing at first, but it's getting overused, overdone. And I don't know. He needs to do something different besides stand backstage with a light bulb in his face and talk about dragging people to hell and just dismembering people or what. I don't even know anymore. It just does nothing for me. You would think such an intriguing guy would grab my attention, but outside of the special spooky effects, and it doesn't. The character doesn't. The visuals do. But the character itself, which is deeper, doesn't grab me because it's hollow. That's the best way I can put it. It's hollow. All right. And I hate to say that about Bray. I think he's still got a good future, but I don't know. It's just the same thing every week. It really is. And if he at least followed through, maybe I'd put a little bit more attention to what he says. But all right. Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro, which apparently is a dream match if you listen to the announcers. Because that's the first thing that comes to mind is Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro was a dream match. But okay, fine. They're supposed to make it larger than life and more important. I get their job, but it was almost kind of comical. Hardy won clean, though. It was a good match. Hard fought. Jeff won with a Swanton bomb. Hesitant handshake from Sheamus and Cesaro. I really expected a bro kick here on Matt. I really did. I would assume that Sheamus versus Matt Hardy is for next week. That's what I would do. You kind of do singles matches leading up to their tag team title match, which is kind of the WWE booking philosophy. I'm fine with it. Not that it's been announced, but that's just my prediction. Do Cesaro and Sheamus turn heel at the pay-per-view? Maybe. Maybe. I would keep an eye on it. I don't know if I would do it. But it's something to definitely keep an eye on, and I was looking with a very keen eye with that handshake, so we'll see. Braun Strowman versus Big Show, again, this was another really nice match with these two, considering their size and limitations. It ended with the ring collapsing after a superplex from Strowman on Show off the top. I know they've done this before, but the crowd reaction really added to it, and the monster character is really working here with Strowman getting up after the ring collapse and standing tall. There was a non-finish, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. The referee took a hard bump, as we all saw, but it really, that's the first time, I know that it's happened with Brock and Big Show back in 2002 or whatever the first time that happened. And then with Mark Henry, and then Mark Henry again. And now I believe this is the fourth time that the ring has collapsed in WWE programming, at least from my recollection. And so I have no problem with it. It doesn't happen often. And this is the first time out of all four of those times that somebody's gotten up and stood tall. And that, to me, was the icing on the cake for a very good segment. So good job, WWE. All right, let's rock it through SmackDown Live. Charlotte opens the show to a surprisingly warm reaction. She talks about how it's only been 7 days and she's already growing impatient, that she hasn't been granted a SmackDown Women's Championship match. She's only going to ask one more time, what is taking so long? Naomi comes out and says, where do you think you were at? This is SmackDown Live. We don't have kings or queens, but we do have champions. Naomi says, we're going to do this right here, right now. And then Naomi attacks Charlotte as Shane comes out. And he says, Charlotte has to earn her spot. And if Charlotte can beat Naomi tonight, she will become the number one contender that will happen in a match next week. Yeah, it's going to happen not on a pay-per-view, but on a TV televised SmackDown Live. So immediately after that, we get the six-pack challenge. I really enjoyed the match. Jinder Mahal won after the Bollywood Boys / the Singh Brothers interfere as Sammy's about to deliver the Huluba kick. And Jinder Mahal won. And I know people are down on it, as I've said, but I'm willing to give it a chance. I get it. And it was good heat. And this is a perfect example, too, of him. He's a guy that's a very good example of being a benefactor of the brand split. You think this would have happened without it? Not a chance. Orton comes out and congratulates him that he won the jackpot, but his prize won't be this title. The only prize is the RKO from yours truly. But he says he has another thorn in his side and talks about Bray, and Bray gives his weekly creepy backstage promo, and we didn't get it just on Raw. Don't worry, we get a double dose on SmackDown. Whatever. By the way, did he even mention the WWE Championship in his promo? Yeah, I forgot it was a championship match too. It just doesn't make sense when you have the biggest prize in the game, not even mentioned that it's part of the match, and not even mentioned that you're chasing that. You're just worried about putting Randy through hell. You gotta have more than that. It's about the WWE Championship. You can add that to it. You don't have to just worry about all the hocus pocus special effects nonsense that this is just seems to be based around. So, whatever. Really nice video package on Shinsuke Nakamura. And all I have to say is, God damn, this guy has star written all over him. I know that he's had massive success already in Japan and very popular in NXT, but nothing like coming to the main roster on a big stage on the WWE platform on the main roster. It is, I think Shinsuke is going to be one of the biggest things to happen in WWE in a decade. That's saying a lot. So we'll see, barring injury. And bad booking. All right, so AJ, directly after this segment, sometimes they foreshadow this when you have a feud that WWE is thinking about. They have the two individuals, even though they're in separate programs, very tightly knit in their segments. So obviously Shinsuke and AJ, it's happening. Just when? SummerSlam, it has to be a big stage. SummerSlam or WrestleMania is, to me, the only possible way. So that could have been some foreshadowing. Baron Corbin interrupts AJ, which sets up a match between the two later in the night. And here's another thing. People are bitching about AJ Styles not being in the title picture, the WWE Championship picture, and he's in the US title picture. That's a step below him. It's not a bad thing. It elevates the United States Championship. Kevin Owens and AJ are going to have, no pun intended, a phenomenal match, or at least I expect to, and it could last several months. And AJ doesn't have to always be in the top main, always in the main event. He's a top guy, but pull back a little, and I said this last week, take one step back, two steps forward. That's what they're doing with AJ. It makes sense. It elevates the U.S. Championship. AJ will be back in the main spotlight sooner than later. We can all rest easy on that. And it's, to me, it's a whole bunch of nothing. That's what this is. And it gives a breather and time for AJ to breathe and really worry about a championship that needs a little bit of help. So I have no problem with it. Charlotte versus Naomi. Crowd went pretty quiet during this match, but Naomi was really showing off her athleticism here. It was longer than I expected. Charlotte came out clean on top, and I think Charlotte needed this. She had to win clean, and she, after her kind of losing streak she was on with Raw and her pay-per-views, it was much needed that Charlotte get back on track, and I expect Queen to continue her dominance. At least I would. 50-50 booking with Charlotte doesn't work. Don't do it. So, good. Primo and Epico versus American Alpha. Smooth match here. Nothing to write home about. The Colognes beat American Alpha clean. And it makes sense if you're repackaging Primo and Epico. You don't want them being repackaged and then buried, right? So I get it. I'm fine with it. The KO, Face of America Open Challenge. Kevin Owens gets pissed at the ring announcer and announces himself versus, his name is Gary Gandy. A total squash. And then talks more trash on the mic. And says that as long as he's the U.S. champion, he will be the face of America. And then he ends up staying on commentary during the main event. Kevin Owens is a much more serious heel here than he was with Jericho. As much as I enjoyed them, the serious Kevin Owens to me is more money. So I'm enjoying that. It makes him more legitimate. And he's seeking serious heel heat, real heel heat, which is lacking in WWE. So I enjoyed that one as well. And his kind of tweak into a more nasty Kevin Owens. Baron Corbin versus AJ Styles was the main event. Nothing crazy here. I mean, it ends in a countout with AJ winning after knocking Corbin over the barricade. So it protects Corbin, and it's the right move with AJ winning, but also protecting Corbin from not losing clean. They have big plans for Corbin. They're seriously lacking real heels on the SmackDown brand. From what I'm hearing, they're inching closer and closer to really giving Baron Corbin a serious push. Maybe repackaging him with the new music, not changing his personality, but maybe his look and his entrance and his presentation, which, yeah, I'm all for. That's fine. I don't have an issue with what he's doing right now. I think he's come along very nicely. He's very believable in his heel. I think he's a shade off of just being himself, and that always is a recipe for success. So, all right, guys, quick and dirty. I really appreciate you listening. Again, follow me on Twitter at Matt's Madness. Go to mattsmadness.com or you can go to wwepodcast.com. Please, please, please rate and review me on iTunes or anywhere that you can give me a rating and review. It does absolutely help out the show and I do appreciate it. So guys, thank you for listening. Take care. And yep, I'll talk to you next time.